The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
And a very good morning to you. It is 5 minutes past nine on Monday, the 28th of August, 2023. How are you getting on? What's it like in your house today? Some of the young ones heading out to school for the first time or returning to school after what was a fantastic summer. How's all going? Hopefully very well indeed. 086 60 25000, that's the WhatsApps and text if you want to let us know. Get involved in the conversations we've got lined up and raise your own issues as well, of course. 07491 25000 is the telephone number. Caroline and Niamh taking your calls this morning. And you can also email, of course, comments at highlandradio.com. And from time to time, we still receive a letter through the post. And if that's what you want to do, feel free. The 9 till noon show, Mountain Top Letter Kenny will get us. Right, OK, let's start with the fronts and inside some of the newspapers today. The Derry People, Donegal News. This is a topic I think we're covering a little later on as well. Donegal enjoyed a bumper weekend of tourism business with many hotels at full capacity thanks to an influx of visitors over the Northern Bank Holiday weekend. However, as the summer season draws to a close, a leading hotelier has warned that many hospitality businesses in Donegal will be forced to reduce their opening hours or in some cases close altogether because they can't cope with rising costs across the sector. There is, of course, a third alternative which isn't mentioned, and that is to provide accommodation for refugees or immigrants. Paul Diver, the Donegal branch chair of the Irish Hotel Federation, said many in the industry have genuine fears for the future of the sector. He said that if government fails to agree to a further extension in the reduced VAT rate of 9% for their sector, many tourist operators in the county will be in trouble. But that seems to be now off the table. It's not one the government is gonna wobble on, I don't think. And I suppose when we have this ongoing controversy of some of the rates charged by some of the hotels in some parts of the country, I'm not sure there's a great public appetite for that 9% to be retained for hotels. Maybe it's different for restaurants and what have you. But I don't know. It'd be interesting if there was a national survey on that provision. It did seem to be just out and about and around the place. It did seem to be a much quieter summer, not just the staycation trade, but also in terms of people coming into the country. As I say, I have nothing to back that up other than a sense. We spoke to Danny Quigley on the programme last week. He was midway through, or maybe two-thirds through, his epic swim challenge. Well, he completed that, and there's a huge crowd welcoming him as he did. Derry's own Ironman, Danny Quigley, has completed his latest epic challenge. The local mental health campaigner took on his biggest challenge to date as he swam the length of the River Foyle, then out to the Atlantic Ocean. Called the Celebration of Life, Danny took on the Mammoth Challenge to remember people who've died by suicide in a positive light by remembering their lives instead of how they died. Danny's father, Colm, took his own life in 2011. And Danny, as you heard on the show, was looking to swim a kilometre for every one of the people that he'd been notified of. Their families wanted their lives celebrated, and he achieved it. Fair play to him. On to the Irish Times now, and you would have heard over the weekend another devastating loss of young life in Ireland. It's just the latest, it seems, in a series of awful events. Thousands gathered in collective grief in the centre of Clonmel, County Tipperary, yesterday evening in a vigil held to mark the tragic deaths of four wonderful young people. Nicole Murphy, Zoe Coffey, Grace McSweeney, all 18, and Miss McSweeney's brother Luke, just 24, were killed when, during a heavy downpour on Friday evening, the vehicle they were travelling in overturned and hit a wall on Mountain Road in Clonmel. And it's just absolutely devastating. And I suppose particularly for those of you out there who are parents, especially parents of adults, you know, you do everything you can to protect your children and to make sure they're happy and safe and, you know, to get them to 18, really. Now, I know the responsibility doesn't stop at 18, but, you know, that is a really important part of their life. It's like, right, well, now it's over to you. I have your back. I'll support you in everything you do, but I've got you to 18. And then as they went to celebrate another very important part of their lives, all of their lives were extinguished just like that. Absolutely heartbreaking. It's terrible. It's awfully tragic. And there are simply no words that you could offer the family and friends of these four lovely young people who are no longer with us. Miss Coffey and Miss McSweeney, pupils at Clonmel's Presentation Secondary School, as well as Ms. Murphy, a former student at Loretto Secondary School in the town, had received their Leaving Cert results just hours before the crash yesterday evening at Kickham Barracks Plaza in Clonmel. Members of the clergy led prayers and eulogies offered for the four victims. May they all rest in peace, and the days, hours, days, weeks, months, years, their families, hopefully they just, as I say, get every bit of strength that they will need to get them through that. Elsewhere in the newspapers this morning, the Irish Independent tells us that a second electricity price cut has been announced by fast-growing supplier Pinergy in a move that's likely to herald a raft of price cuts from its rivals. It already did a price cut, but it was one of the more expensive in the market, so it reducing its prices was not going to necessarily make the other big players feel like they had to do so. But a second price cut might make some difference. It comes days after new energy supplier Uno launched cut price deals for households. The Irish Independent understands that the large players in the market are weeks away from announcing modest cuts in the electricity and gas prices for households just as we head into the more energy-hungry winter months. Now, again, we talked about this a lot last week. I said this last year, the year before. I find it very hard to understand the electricity bills. So, like, the people that we've been speaking to who were getting bills around 200, 250, and their bills tripled in the last couple of months, you know, to 500 or 600, like, will they even notice this evening? Where did that? We don't really even know where this massive surge in prices for some people came from. So how do you even recognise when you're making a saving? Is it going to be saving off the huge summer bill, or is it going to be saving off the previous bills? Do you get where I'm coming from? That's the problem with the market. It's not really very clear. At least if you put petrol or diesel in your car, you know, you drain the tank, you know how far you got, and then you put it in. The electricity seems to be almost, sometimes it feels like they pick a number. I'm not saying they do, but the lack of transparency there means that, you know, where is the saving, or how do you recognise you've even made a saving? I hope you understand what I'm trying to say there. 086 60 25,000, if you do or don't. Big story for the world of sport, of course, recently was Spain winning the Women's World Cup. But, I mean, that was completely overshadowed because I'll tell you what I might do. I might come back to that because I want to speak to a person who's obviously incredibly busy, and I'll come back to the newspapers after I speak to Father Michael Toomey, who's a chaplain at CBS High School in Clonmel, who was at the scene of this devastating crash on Friday night. Father Michael, thank you so much for joining us on what continues to be a very different time. How are you, Father? Are you okay?
Thanks for asking. Yeah, Greg, I've had a lot of people texting me and saying, are you okay, mind yourself and everything. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, Greg, this is my area. I've dealt with, sadly, a number of tragedies, particularly with young people over my years, but obviously never to the extent that we've had to deal here with four young people. But this morning at 4:30, I actually went down. We had a vigil last night, which you can talk about in a moment, and the candles and everything still lighting in the dark. And it was my moment, I think, just to kind of pause and actually shed a tear, because it was important for me to just realise this is impacting everybody. And I've encouraged people, including the young men, it's okay to cry, because this is massive for us to deal with.
It was very clear very early on that this was going to be just a devastating tragedy, Father. You could tell from the tone of the emails coming through from An Garda Síochána Síochána that this was just going to be a most horrendous tragedy, and that's how it unfolded. And I can't imagine what it must have been like for you and the emergency services and others who came upon the scene.
Yeah, I mean, obviously on Friday evening, Friday morning, started off so well because the Leaving Cert results came out. I met a few of the lads. I'm a school chaplain in the high school, where two of the brothers of those who died, David and Ryan, are students. But Luke had been a previous student in the high school. But obviously the lads knew the girls, Grace, Zoe and Nicole, and great expectations and great excitement. And then to get this call on Friday evening to say there's been a major incident in place. So we have a kind of a contingency plan to all hands on deck. So I rang the Gardaí and I said, look, am I needed? Because you don't want to impede anything. And they said, yeah, come up. So I was at the scene insofar as I met two of the families who arrived at the scene. Now, they didn't see the full scene. Obviously, they were just kind of at a cordon. I then was at the hospital and I met all of the families involved and just gave as much pastoral support as you can and said to them from the very start, as I said last night, I have no words for you. Mm-hmm. I actually don't know what to say, but we're here for you. So as the evening progressed on, we then were able to go in and say a prayer with the families and the deceased, and then to put in our critical incident plans across our four secondary schools. Even though the girls had gone to the two girls' schools, the boys' school has been impacted as well, and the other mixed school that we have. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of from that, it was kind of just automatically putting in our critical incident plans, which we obviously, every school has, and anyone who works in the school knows what that is, but never to the extent that all schools had to collectively work together and unify themselves mm-hmm. to deal with this as a whole community.
And that community came out in great numbers yesterday. And I think people who were there or have seen the pictures would be struck by the amount of young people that came out.
Yeah. I mean, in regards to our young people, we have been providing support in the schools. The NEPS team and the teachers and the principals opened their school doors, a time for them to come and light candles and say prayers and cry and hug and laugh. So great support there. But the mayor of Clonmel, Richie Malloy, and I were discussing it. So we needed something for everybody because this has affected absolutely everybody in Clonmel, every single person. So last night we gathered, it was a vigil service. While there were prayers, it wasn't overly religious, which was the intent. We also had the Bishop of Waterford and Lismore was with us, Bishop Conlan. We had the Church of Ireland ministers with us. The imam from the Muslim community was there. So it was very much a unified kind of standing with people. And it was young and old there last night. And I've said it already, and for 45 minutes, you could hear a pin drop, even though there was about 3,000 people there. The silence was deafening with that crowd. I've never, ever witnessed anything like that. And, we did reflections and prayers. I just encourage the young people, as I have been from each other from day one, to say, look, be there for one another. You know, the best support you can be is to be there for each other. The person who can support you the best is probably beside you. And I think as a community, we just were able to do that last night and to just acknowledge that before, obviously, the long week which we have ahead of us, which is now to look to plan the funerals and the liturgies for that.
Yeah, and that's why the supports, Father Michael, need to stay in place, don't they? Because even just listening to some of the amazing words of some of the friends of those that died, you can see they're very early in the process of dealing with this. So this is, the supports are going to have to be there for the medium to long term, I think.
They are. And in fairness, like, the schools are open today. Like, schools, they have to get back to normal, whatever normal is. Most of these students have now left school because obviously they're leaving cert results, but the schools are still there for the students, whether they're there or not. So there will be support available there. Obviously, the supports will be there long term afterwards. We have a wonderful group here in Clonmel called Seesaw, which is a kind of a drop-in centre. People can just have a chat. Their doors have been open. The pastoral support, the care we do here. I do a lot of work, not just within my own as a priest, but in the community with listening support groups and mental health groups and everything. So I'll obviously be kind of trying to coordinate and help people and guide people there as best we can. I've been in touch with 7 people already today, just touching in with them, making sure they're okay, you know, with their parents, they're worried and that. So look, that's kind of an in one-to-one support, but there's a bigger support there as well. But yeah, the supports will be a long time because, Greg, as I said last night, we will never get over this. Mm-hmm. We will learn to live with it, and it actually will, I think, make our young people stronger in time to come. But at the moment, we have to deal with what we are dealing with, which is an unimaginable tragedy that we've never, ever dealt with before. But the people have come together. We've done our very best in a very, very difficult situation. I do pay tributes, as I think people have done already, to emergency services and that. Yeah. But also, can I just say to the press as well? I mean, the press coming into any town, they did exceptionally well. They were very respectful. I was kind of guiding them and saying, look, don't take a photo here or, you know, be careful of this. And they were very respectful and they have been very, very diligent to get the story out because obviously this has affected the whole country, Greg. You know, parents are saying, it could have been my child, it could have been my grandchild, it could have been anybody. and it was just a freak accident that had happened. Sadly, it's come to our town.
Yeah, and it's so true, and things are so immediate now. There were parents who had sent their young ones off for their celebrations, and they'd yet to return, and the parents were learning of this news, and it just really struck home for so many people. Yeah. And you quite rightly point out this was felt by everyone across the country. And interviews like this, Father Michael, I'm sure you're asked, you know, what can you say or how do you make sense of this? But at this time, there are no words and there are no sense to it. So you know what I mean?
That was my first...
Go ahead, Father.
So that was the thing I said to the two of the families the other night. I don't know what to say to you. I have no words. And I said the same thing last night to everybody. I said, there are no words. And we've all said that, I said. But I said, all we can do is just to, as we have last night, we gathered, we're there just to show solidarity. Some of the family members were there last night. I spoke to one of the brothers and he was just, I think he's still obviously in shock and it's not coming in. He's not taking it in, but he just said, I can't believe there are so many people here. Mm-hmm. We've never seen a gathering like that before. But I think that just in itself, even without saying anything, will help the families. That's all we can do at this time, you know.
Yeah, of course. And you would be fully aware, of course, Father, we have our fair share of road tragedies, of course, but we had our own awful tragedy here less than a year ago, the Chrysler tragedy. And I'm sure
that was the first thing that came to my mind. Yeah. The other day, like I do mass on RTE News every Monday morning, and you know I pay tribute to people of Chrysler. This morning I'll be paying tribute to our own people. I never thought I'd have to do it from one of my own. Mm-hmm. You know, we always say that and people have said that, but unfortunately when it comes to your door, you have to kind of, for me it's my faith, you know, it keeps me strong, keeps me going, but it's also the support I know that people will give each other at this time, which, you know, we just have to be very careful with one another, and you know, and that's what we're doing to the best we can under these extraordinary circumstances.
Okay, Father Michael Toomey, I hope you continue to get the strength and guidance and support that you'll need as well. Thanks very much for your time.
Yeah, and thank you. And thank you to all your listeners for your support and prayers as well. It's much appreciated.
Okay, thanks very much. That's Father Michael Toomey, chaplain at CBS High School Clonmel. Mass will be offered for the repose of the souls of Luke McSweeney, Grace McSweeney, Nicole Murphy and Zoe Coffey at a mass to be broadcast on RTE News Now at 10:30 this morning. If you want to break away from this and if you would get some comfort from that, that's okay too. Right, the remaining stories that were in the papers, we'll dip in and out of them as the morning progresses, but we'll take just a short break. If a caller says, did I hear right? The government are going to bail RTE out in the next budget. Correct me if I'm wrong. Well, can I correct you? And you're not wrong. Of course, you're right. It's you bailing them out. It's not the government. It's your money, you see. They gather up all our money and then decide what to do with it. And they've decided that RTE is going to need a 50 million euro bailout. So it is the government that's spending our money on it. But anyway, I'll go on to read. Does RTE not receive more revenue from advertising than from the licence fee? They must be one of the only national broadcasters globally that can receive a licence fee and advertising for profit. They buy in most of their shows because they produce very little programming of any quality. That caller believes it is a joke. I think Channel 4 has a mix of advertising and licence fee money. On Wednesday, we're going to find out what the status of Donegal will be for the next general elections. The Election Commission is going to make its findings known. And we're going to get more TDs. The number of TDs in the next door could rise by 21 from a current 116 in response to a rise in the population, which is really quite interesting because we set it out here that there should be one TD for every 30,000 people. But our nearest neighbours, of course, Britain, their rate is somewhat different. They've got one MP for every 92,000 people. So I don't know why we've set the bar so low in terms of the level of representation that we need. Normally we look to what's happening across the water and follow them quite closely. But anyway, it is believed by the powers that be that we need a single TD for every 30,000 people. And as I say, in Britain, it's one for every 92,000 people. Well, the Electoral Commission, established in May this year, will report on Wednesday on how many additional TDs are required and on the makeup of the constituencies that elect them. To take account of Ireland, its growing population. The Commission has been given a remit to create between 11 and 21 additional seats. It'll be the first time the number of TDs has grown since 1981. Now, in order to accommodate all the extra TDs, every one of the country's 39 constituencies is likely to change. So we don't know what the makeup of Donegal might be in its relationship with Sligo, Leitrim and North Roscommon and so on and so forth. But we'll know on Wednesday. We'll have analysis of that. Also, just to recap that story about RTE, it'll need a state bailout in the budget of at least 50 million if it's to survive, as increasing numbers refuse to pay their TV licence over the recent payment scandal. But before the government will even consider any request for funds, the national broadcast will have to enact major reforms and drastic cost-cutting measures. While no definitive figure has been agreed, it's being reported that RTE will need at least 50 mil or more just to keep afloat in 2024. But Media Minister Catherine Martin will demand that radical changes are put in place before any state cash is handed over, as concerns grow that the broadcaster is already finding it difficult to make reforms. But what kind of reforms are they looking for? You know, transparency, accountability, all that kind of nonsense, you know, culture. I'm not saying those things don't have to change, but how do you even sort of determine that's happening at all, or rate it? Either way, they'll get the cash. And it's going to come out, as I say, of your pockets. Just on a slightly more positive note, laughter is cheap. Do we laugh enough? But apparently having a good laugh twice a week could help reduce the risk of heart disease. This was in the Irish Mirror today. The first ever trial measuring its effects on symptoms has found a fit of the giggles cuts inflammation and increases the heart's capacity to pump oxygen around the body. Of 26 coronary artery disease patients with an average age of 64, half were asked to watch two-hour-long comedy shows on TV each week, and the rest watched documentaries. After 12 weeks, the comedy group had a 10% boost in their VO2 max test, measuring how much oxygen the heart can pump around the body. So all you have to do, if you want to improve your heart, is to have a laugh as much as you can. Right, okay, we are going to go now to beautiful Rafo, but unfortunately someone saw fit to vandalise and temporarily take away from that beauty. We're joined on the programme by Chair of Rafo Community Action, rolling out the community scheme, Mary Hart. Mary Hart, thanks for joining us. Good to have you on the programme again,
good morning.
Of course.
Good morning, Greg.
What did you wake up to and when?
Well, it was Sunday morning, but so overnight on Saturday, a group or one or several vandals ripped up the flowers out of the pots and pulled off branches from the trees. You know, so the tiny towns who clean the town every morning, you know, came along, and this is what they were faced with. Normally, they just come around at the weekends and, you know, clear up whatever debris and rubbish that people might have dropped along the street. It's the first time that this has happened to this extent here. And just so that, you know, your listeners are aware, you know, we have been working for the last 2 years very hard in the town under the Town and Village Renewal Programme to try and enhance the look of the village and the town, or even the city, as we call it as well. You know, so we, you know, there's been a lot of money under that programme, €250,000. So we've painted all the buildings, the doors, we've upgraded the pavements around the centre of the Diamond, new seating. And only in May and June, you know, we had landscape gardeners under the scheme come in and plant up the flowers. And, you know, the tidy towns are responsible for, you know, they take it on to look after, you know, all of the flower beds right out or even on the perimeter of the town. And, you know, it's not just for them, you know, it's demoralising for them, but it also is, it makes people very angry that somebody just decides, you know, I'll just destroy this. Yeah. And this is, you know, outright vandalism, you know, to what purpose other than just pure badness, you know, which, you know, and I have no idea why they did this, who was responsible. But you know, I know that the Gardaí have been informed, and there will be CCTV footage looked at to see if there's any way we can try and isolate who was responsible.
Yeah, and it's been a relatively quiet year for this type of activity, but this is seems like it's like a rampage. Like, I'm looking at imagery here. You know, it's like a sustained, yeah, a sustained spate of vandalism, yeah, if that makes sense. It's not someone, yes, kicking over a flower box. This is like people, no, went mad here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's almost like someone had some issue with the town rather than an issue with themselves and pulling a few plants up as they walked along the street. You know, it is concentrated, and it's concentrated in one area of the diamond. And it's not easy to break branches off trees. You know, it takes a fair bit of force to do that. So whoever was responsible were determined to do damage and, you know, to show and to cause damage. And, you know, for the businesses, for the residents, of which we have many in the diamond, you know, it's very upsetting, and it's not nice on a Sunday morning for the workers from tiny towns to have to come along and clean up this mess after, you know, somebody just decided to go on a rampage in the centre of the town. And, you know, it also there's another layer there as well. You know, why would somebody think that it's okay to do that? But the next layer is, well, you know, what's the next step? You know, what's the next bit of damage that's going to happen? You know, if it's somebody that's, you know, that lives in the town, and I sincerely hope that it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, what can be the next damage? Because we've been doing, as I said, we've been doing a lot of hard work, you know, having the facades of the buildings in the diamond repainted, all of the listed buildings, you know, the Georgian and Victorian doors have all been repainted. The council, Donegal County Council, we've been working with them, you know, through this programme. And they, you know, the diamond has been upgraded. And as I say, you know, the €4,000 on plants were put in by landscape gardeners in June. So it's unfair. It's disheartening. And it's, you know, we're working hard within the town to present the place, the village and the town, you know, as a nice, unique place to come in Donegal, which then brings footfall, which then eventually brings more business, which then, you know, brings more work and more jobs. So those are the endeavours within a tourism realm. And we have a very rich, you know, tourism heritage in Raphoe. You know, it goes right back, you know, sort of to an early monastery and then works its way up through to a cathedral into a plantation town. You know, so we have, you know, and we have had a lot of leading political figures through history lived in Raphoe. So there's an awful lot of things that we could do to encourage people to come visit Raphoe, sit in the diamond, enjoy a sandwich and a cup of coffee. You know, lots of you know, Valerie there with her coffee machine, you know, does, you know, lovely cakes and coffee, and people do come and sit down and enjoy. We have opened up a new tourism and heritage centre in the Vault House, which is the community centre. And this is all voluntary. Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't, you know, none of us are paid to do this. This is voluntary. And then you have somebody coming along and just pulling everything apart, you know, which is extremely unfair. And I do hope they're caught. I really do hope they're caught. And I really do hope that the Gardaí are able to sift through CCTV footage and pinpoint, you know, who or what group could possibly have been responsible for this.
Yeah, and those who are responsible should realise that this is actually a criminal matter. This is criminal damage. This is the equivalent to damaging a house or damaging a car. You know, the Gardaí, yeah, will, and I'm sure it will feature as part of the appeals and the Community Gardaí information tomorrow if there isn't progress in the case. I think it's very much in the interest of whomever is responsible that they actually come forward, offer an explanation, offer compensation to restore what can be restored back to the way it was previously, rather than finding themselves being having a guard at the door of their property.
Well, somebody, you know, it wasn't just one person did this. So two people or three people or four or five, you know, so somebody knows who did this. And as you say, it is criminal damage. You know, if the person or persons are found to be identified, they will be prosecuted and they will go to court. And as you rightly pointed out, you know, that what should be done is to stop that, is to come forward and say, yes, we did this and we will now compensate, or we will do what we can. We will help the tidy towns. But, you know, I hate to say, but I can't see that happening.
No,
but that is the I suppose the correct thing to do if you're a citizen and good citizenship. And it's taught in schools, you know, and as I say, like, it's just pure destruction and malice and badness. And I won't accept that, you know, all, you know, they were coming out of a pub and they were drunk and they didn't know what they were doing. I won't accept that. I have no idea where they came from. But whoever did it set out to do it, set out to destroy the plants and to set out to pull the branches off the trees. And, you know, in the great scheme of things, it might not seem a major event, but it actually is for us in the town. You know, it's something that can creep in to be something even worse. And I really hope that whoever's responsible, that this is nipped in the bud. You know, we do have guarded diversion programs in Rifo. You know, so the local kids are being sort of looked after, and, you know, we have a good bunch of young people in the town, and we have great scouts, and, you know, there's lots of really good work being done by those youth groups. And I'm not saying it's young people either. It could be anybody.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, so we don't know until, so and it's impossible to point a finger at something that's done in the dark of night. And you wake up in the morning to find the whole place is all smashed up. So I hope that that we are able to get to the bottom of this, and that somebody, you know, some responsible person knows what happened and is contrite and will come forward and say, look, this happened and shouldn't have happened, and we're sorry, or they're sorry, whatever. You know. So you can only hope for that to happen.
Exactly,
but,
okay.
You know, and certainly any other town, you know, I mean, if, you know, it's something that shouldn't happen. It just should not happen.
It does, really. I don't get it, but it does. You know, we had another bizarre incident last week as well. Mary Hart, listen, thanks for your time. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
And,
thank you very much for helping us highlight this time.
It's critical it happens. Okay, thank you so very much indeed. That is Mary Hart there. Awful thing to be done to a beautiful town like that. I was a grade A student, says the listener, throughout the year, but suffered from extreme exam anxiety and barely scraped through my exams. I shouldn't have been so anxious, as I had two successful careers in my 65 years and was only asked for exam results once in over 30 years of working. Yeah, indeed. Good morning, Greg. What it shows is how badly our kids are really taught at school when we have to fudge the figures for them all to pass. Your teacher can say what he wants. This is off the back of our Friday panel. But teachers aren't up to scratch these days. If they stuck to teaching core subjects, reading, writing, arithmetic, you're not there to be their friend or push an agenda or how you feel or think. Another caller says, I suspect the results of a referendum would show a clear majority against. Perhaps it would give us some leverage in migrant negotiations. These are the calls that we get quite frequently for a referendum on whether or not we should subscribe to the EU's migration policy. Saturday morning, I was going through the HSE action plan. Just from time to time, you know, go through some of this stuff in case someone texts in or if it comes up in a subject matter or not. So I was going through the HSE's urgent and emergency care operation plan, just off the back of a lot of the calls that we get. And I recall back 2016, the target for everyone, I think, to be given a bed if they need one in the ED was 9 hours. That's the, and I was able to double check that. It's hard to find out precisely what it is. But anyway, the new, relatively new HSE action plan, urgent and emergency care action plan, it sets out a target for an inpatient bed for sick over 75s in the ED, right? So I put it out on social media and asked people to guess what they believe it to be. So what would you say the target for an inpatient bed for a sick over 75s person is in EDs across this country? So that, just to be clear, that's someone who's over 75, they've gone to the ED and they're sick enough to be admitted to hospital. What do you believe the wait should not exceed for that person? Well, and this is 2023 for you. No patient, this is a direct quote from the plan that I talk of, no patient aged over 75 will wait more than 24 hours in an emergency department for an inpatient bed. So that is how regressive things have become. So the target now is if you're 78 and you're so sick that you need a bed in the hospital, they say you shouldn't have to wait more than 24 hours. I really find that quite remarkable. Okay, now, apologies if you are watching and you had an interruption to the broadcast. A button was hit that knocked us offline, but we're back again. So hopefully you were all able to reconnect. We're back broadcasting on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, or on Facebook, Highland Hub, Highland Radio News and Sport. Our next guest with us very shortly. Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show. We're joined on the programme now by Sinn Féin Deputy Rory O'Murrahcu. Good morning to you, Rory. Thank you very much for your time today.
Morning, Greg.
Right, now you are concerned that, or deeply worried, I think you were quoted as saying, that brave Irish soldier murdered in Lebanon, our own Sean Rooney, will not get justice. What has exacerbated your concerns there?
Well, in reply to a question I had put to the Minister for Defence, to the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, just in relation to, and in fairness to Micheál Martin, he has said he would leave no stone unturned, that this state would do absolutely everything in relation to delivering, you know, justice for Sean Rooney. Obviously, here, your own people in Donegal, and particularly people in my hometown of Dundalk, have very close affinity with Sean Rooney, obviously his comrades, and his family and many others are watching this absolutely intently. And what we're talking about, I suppose, is the fact on the 14th of July, you had the first indictment hearing, and you had six defendants who did not present themselves, and then the case was postponed until the 30th of August. Now, I accept that there can't be a huge level of government commentary in relation to that court proceedings are ongoing. I know that this is being watched by the embassy in Cairo as lead, and also the consulate in Beirut, and that there has been obviously some element of legal support that has been engaged there as well, which is absolutely necessary. But we are incredibly worried, given the part of the world that it is, you know what I mean? And also with the passing of time, we just need to make sure that absolutely everything is done. Now, as I say, the positive parts in my reply from Micheál Martin were the fact that he said absolutely everything would be done. So we just need to ensure that that is the case. There is also the ongoing issues that there will have to be the Garda investigation. And we know that UNIFIL also carried out its own investigation. We need to make sure that whatever learnings need to be learnt as regards safety, security, protocols, procedures, that all that is absolutely dealt with. Mm. And I have also called for the fact that there needs to be continued engagement with the family. Mm-hmm. And I know that Micheál Martin had met with Sean's mother, Natasha, a number of times, and we just need to make sure that the family are kept fully abreast in relation to where the situation are. And from their point of view, obviously, they want to know absolutely everything. They want to ensure that there is justice for their son. And also that, as I say, if there are things that need to be learned from a point of view of securing our troops who are doing absolutely a vital, you know, service in relation to peacekeeping, and we all know the importance of it. Unfortunately, with the death of Sean Rooney, we learned just the huge sacrifice that sometimes has to be made in relation to this. But we need to make sure that we do absolutely everything to avoid any future tragedy, as much as that can possibly be done. But again, I am very worried at this point in time, and I just want to make sure that I can play whatever small part I can in relation to the fact that we maintain the pressure and that the government engages with the Lebanese authorities and everything. And again, we want fair trials. We want absolute justice, but we just want to make sure, and to use the Taoiseach's own words, that no stone is left unturned.
Yeah, but what does that look like, I wonder? Because, I mean, what can we do, you know, people not turning up to court, you know what I mean, those suspected of having an involvement in this. I mean, what does that look like when Micheál Martin gives you that commitment? What pressure can be exerted? What can be done to try and get justice? It might be, in a way, we can sort of see the pathway to trying to ensure something like this, as best as can be possible, avoided into the future. But, in terms of getting justice, getting those responsible before the courts, what can actually be done?
Well, look, there obviously is a Lebanese judicial system. It's obviously in operation at this point in time. Some of this will become very clear very quickly, in the sense the postponement date was till August 30th. So we will very, very soon see what is happening. I have no doubt that, as I say, while the government might be somewhat circumspect in relation to the commentary it's going to make around all of this, I would like to believe, and I do believe, that there is engagement at all level just to ensure that all pressure is brought to bear, just to make sure that we have an absolute, as I say, frank and fair and decent judicial proceedings, and just we ensure that everything is done from a point of view of, as I say, a fair trial. But obviously we are looking for the fact that there has to be accountability in relation to what was an absolutely heinous crime, and that we lost a very young peacekeeper, as I say, that will be missed not only by his family, but by communities, particularly in Donegal and in Dundalk, and by a family that is going to be deeply hurt.
Yeah, and won't want him to be forgotten, you know, won't want
no,
this.
No, not in any way, shape or form. Yeah, look, yeah. No, of course, we owe it to the memory. We need to recognise the huge sacrifice that he has made. And we're talking about a family that has had a huge commitment to the Defence Forces over many, many years. Mm-hmm. So, look, they deserve that. Anybody who has donned the colours and has put themselves in the line of fire in relation to peacekeeping, and we know the long tradition of Irish peacekeeping and how Irish peacekeepers are seen, but we need to make sure that we recognise their commitment, their sacrifice, and that we have their back. And there is an absolute obligation on Micheál Martin and the wider government just to make sure that all can be done from a point of view, as I say, of the two points of making sure that we see justice for Sean Rooney, but beyond that, that we learn anything that needs to be learned in relation to whether we're talking about protocols, procedures, and just operations in general from a peacekeeping point of view. Obviously, that absolute best practice is followed, and that we ensure that we keep our people as safe as is possible, while accepting we are talking about something that is incredibly, incredibly dangerous.
For sure. Okay, Rory, thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. Okay, now, sorry, that was, I should thank Deputy Rory Omoroku of Sinn Féin there. 086 60 25,000, WhatsApp and texts to that number, of course. Hi, Greg. What's the purpose of having the Leaving Cert when the end result is that when you graduate from university, and the unofficial but really official body language is you must emigrate because Ireland wants to steal individuals from third world countries that really need them at home. So Ireland could pay everyone here the lowest wages possible and then feel proud of themselves. Can anyone dare think of the long-term societal damage? Hi, Greg. If this housing refurbishment grant money was used by the government to repair these homes and rent them to those who really need them. Yeah, this was off the back of a conversation we had with... a councillor on Friday, Patrick McGowan, who says, look, there's 50 up to 70,000 euro available for refurbishing derelict properties. And it's been, the scope's been widened and what have you, and more people should be applying for it. There's been very few drawdowns of this grant across the country, but they may start coming through. Then we got a sort of sense from people that says, that's grand. If you've got money, you might be able to avail of this money, but there are some that feel that if you are struggling to get on the ladder, that you might not be able to get a mortgage on a property that you're waiting to draw down this grant on, if that makes sense. A caller says the reason people are not taking up the property incentive is because the abandoned and derelict houses, especially in my area, are owned by the same person. Developers will not get these grants. Another, why don't they give a grant or money for a person to buy a wee modular home for, say, one person or even a mobile home and let these people pay back the council rent or let them buy it out? Not a bad idea, because those wee houses now are something else, aren't they? Johnny McCollum is a member of Letterkenny Heritage Group and is wondering if any of you can help track someone down. Good morning to you, Johnny.
Good morning, Greg.
How are you getting on? Now, how can the people help? Who are you looking for?
Well, in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, there was a nurse in Letterkenny, and she was a midwife as well. And her name was Nurse Harkin, and she lived in Lower Main Street. And her heritage group were looking for a photograph of her, and we do wall murals around the town, so if we could get a photograph of her, we would do a wall mural of her up in Council Car Park in Centre Hill, Greg. But we just cannot find a photograph.
And why is it so hard to track it down, do you think?
I don't know. I remember just a wee bit about her, and the people in the town told me that she used to go around the bicycle all the time.
Mm.
And they said when Letterkenny was smaller then, she had delivered half of Letterkenny people.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what people around the town can still tell me, that people that have been, who I thought had a photograph, Greg. And that's what they told me, like.
Okay, so recap then. When would she have been, you know, give us the years that she was around doing the workshops that she was doing to help try and trigger memories again there, Johnny.
Yeah, she would have been in the 40s, 50s and the 60s. And she always had a wee bicycle with her, and she would have a wee case with her, like.
Mm-hmm. So very distinctive. But people of that time would know precisely who we're talking about. We're just hoping that one of them snapped her, and maybe if that picture is around the house or something, that they make it available.
Yeah, there is plenty of people around the town know of her, like, and a lot of people told me that she delivered them and all, like.
Mm.
But to get a photograph, that's another one, you know.
Okay, well, hard. Listen. There's bound to be one out there. It's just hopefully the right ears are reached in this conversation. As I say, it's a very distinctive description. So if someone has it, they'll know exactly what we're talking about. Johnny, if we get anything, we shall pass it on to you. And as I say, it's all
Listen,
for a really
Greg,
good cause, because
that,
it's about making a wall memorial in tribute to her. So
That's right.
Would be a really nice story if one of those pictures could be obtained. And even
yeah, it'd be lovely, yeah.
All right, Johnny, you never know. And unless we ask, I suppose we don't know, do we?
No.
And also, if
Listen,
she's any,
Greg,
if,
thanks
if,
very
and,
much.
And also, Johnny, sorry, should have mentioned, maybe her own relations, someone who is related to her, maybe still around and listening. So
well, no,
you never know.
I don't think she has got any relations in Letterkenny.
We shall see. Johnny McCollum, thank you very much indeed. He's the member of Letterkenny Heritage Group. If you can help, get in touch with us, 0866 25000, and we'll pass it on. My daughter has a really bad outbreak of psoriasis. It's got to the stage now where she will not leave the house. She's tried all the consultants, all the medications, oceans and portions, but nothing has worked. Has anyone tried anything that really worked? Please help a very distressed 19-year-old. If you can help us, we will pass it on. A caller says, I'd welcome a referendum on the new EU migration deal. Our country and society will change forever because of this deal, so a mandate from the Irish citizens should be mandatory. This is primarily what democracy is about, giving the people a say. And how might it change from where it is now? Let me know, 0866 25000. What are your concerns about it? What do you believe that will change that worries you? Okay, let's take a break for the news and obituary notices, and we'll be back afterwards.